Brother Corey, it's Michael. I just finished up a little episode of writing, and I happened to check the comments, and I saw your comment, brother. First of all, thank you so much for being such a loyal listener, man, and follower with the Lord Jesus Christ with us. I'm just so pleased and blessed, man. Thank you for being a part of this, and thank you for asking such an awesome question. I mean, to me, brother, it's a blessing to hear somebody like you even struggling with something like that. I know that may seem a little weird, but the fact that you're pondering this and struggling with it and working it out, man, I'm so proud of you, brother. That is such a wonderful thing to do. And thank you for fighting the good fight of faith and even being in a position where you're willing to, you know, open up your hands on whatever you have. Brother, that is pleasing to God. I'm telling you, that is pleasing to God. So here's just a few things for you to think about. I don't have the answer for you, okay? But Father does. There'd be a lot of people that would want to give you a real quick, cut, dry answer on it. And God help me, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to share with you just a few principles and a few thoughts. The most important one I want to share with you is the Bible says that He teaches the humble and leads the humble in what is right, and He teaches them His way. And in Psalm 25:12, it says, "Who is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way chosen for him." So, brother, back to the very foundation of all of this, if you are the elect of the Lord, you can get great encouragement from the fact that God has already chosen a path for you. And the Bible promises, who is the man who fears the Lord? Okay, that's not like who is the special man. It doesn't say who is the black man, who is the Caucasian man, who is the Indian man, who is the poor man, who is the rich man. It doesn't say any of that. It says, who is the man? Meaning, who is the person anywhere who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way chosen for him. So what I get from that passage, which is so comforting to me, is that because I'm elect of God, in other words, God gave me a heart and saw that with this heart, at some point in time, I would respond to life and difficult circumstances and choose Him. So I'm elect. God is working things out in my life to seek me and pursue me. Jesus said nobody can come to the to Him except for the Father draws him. Bear with me, man. I'm in traffic too. So I take delight in the fact that God chose me. And then I get to now choose Him back. But knowing that I'm chosen and knowing that you're chosen, the Bible says it wasn't just you that's chosen, but there's been a way chosen for you. And I like to believe that because God is omniscient, He knew and wrote every one of your days, which is what the Bible tells us about David. I don't see how it would be any less for you and I. The truth of the matter is that we're all greater than David because Jesus Christ said that the greatest man who's ever lived is John the Baptist. No man was ever born to a woman greater than John the Baptist. And then He turns around and says, but the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. That means from Father's perspective, you and I are greater than somebody like King David. Now, that's hard to believe. It's not that we've accomplished more than Him, but because the Spirit of Christ is living in us, there's nothing or no one greater than the Spirit of Christ, which is why we're greater. So, if something was said of David from this standpoint of there's a way chosen for him, how much more has a way been chosen for those of us who have the Spirit of the living Christ living not like David upon him, but living inside of us? John 7 says the Spirit hadn't been given yet. So in the Old Covenant, with the very few exceptions, we largely see Spirit upon. Here we have Spirit in, right? So why did God put His Spirit in us? The Bible says in Ephesians 1:11, He's working out everything in accordance with His good purpose. In Philippians 2:12 and 2:13, it says it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. So that means God has a chosen purpose for you. He will instruct you in the way chosen for you. Do you see this? This is the evidence in Scripture. Now, you can possess this by faith. You can believe this by faith, brother. And then the Lord, he's not going to force you to believe this. So having said that, the most important thing for me is to find out what is God's plan for me? Not just what is okay for me to do, but what is God's plan for me? Now, you're asking, is it okay to be a business owner? That's the first question you ask. Is it okay to be an entrepreneur? Some people believe it's not. I personally, my answer is, I believe it is absolutely okay to be a business owner. When I owned Sticky Story Productions, which I was making business videos, God never told me that what I was doing was evil. What he did tell me he didn't want to do is he didn't want me to build the business beyond what he brought me. I'm not saying this applies to you. Don't just stay with me. I'm just trying to show you something here. I used to ask the Lord, well, I need to build this. I need to pay child support, pay myself. So I'm going to start ramping this up here. And the Lord would tell me no. He would give me scriptures that showed me, no, I needed to wait. And the Holy Spirit would speak to me and I would know, just by the way I know how God speaks to me, he was telling me to wait. And so one day I went up on the mountain, Corey, and I said, Lord, you tell a man, you say in the word that unless a man works, he cannot eat. And you say that a man should make it his ambition to lead a quiet life, mind his own business, and work with his hands. You say this in 2 Thessalonians. I'm wanting to work. I have to provide for my family or I'm worse than an unbeliever. So why is it that every time I try to move forward and build this business, are you telling me no to walk in step with the Spirit and stay put? And the Lord was pleased to give me some insight after I prayed about this a few times. And what he showed me, Corey, was he was okay with me doing business and earning money for myself, but he didn't want me to pursue it. And he showed me that he saw the business like a baby that never grows up. It always needs my attention. And he was helping me to see that he does not want me to build something that requires more and more of my time because he was calling me to work for him. So he basically said, for this season, he helped me to understand and insight was given to me in my spirit about this. It wasn't like I heard all these words. This is insight that the Lord gave me in my heart is it's okay for me to do the business that he brings to me, but don't pursue building this thing. Because building it turns it into a child that always needs to be babysat. It's never going to grow up and operate on its own without me. It's going to require more and more time and attention from me, which takes me away from the Lord and his purposes. So he said, just do the work I bring you. So now there you can see, Father didn't have a problem with me having a business. He had a problem with me growing the business because he was going to call me into ministry. All right? There's many tales of Christian businessmen. I don't know many. I can't say many, because I'm sure there are. I just don't know a lot of them. But there are many instances of business owners that are godly men. I mean, George Mueller talks about this quite a bit, that the Christian businessman should not operate by the principles of the world, but by spiritual principles. And he tried to encourage them not to get out of business, but to allow your business. See, it's not business that's evil. It's not a relationship that's evil. It's not a marriage that's evil. It's not activities. It's what you're doing them from. What place are you coming from doing this? So if I'm doing a business to get rich, then again, yeah, that makes the business evil. And if I'm depending upon the ways of man to build my business, depending on it, that's evil. But if I have a business where I'm praying in every dollar, and I'm doing something that glorifies God, that's God-honoring, that's not violating my conscience, how could somebody say that's evil? Now, if it violates your conscience, you need to give thought to that. If it's bothering your conscience, perhaps the Lord is calling you out of it. Now, a couple of red flags just to think about. A doctor and you are close to the same in some ways. You're dealing with the physical body. You must recognize as a Christ follower, you're both trying to fix something that's dying and irretrievably broken. So even when a doctor fixes whatever it is he fixes, that person is still going to die. Whatever they just fixed is going to start getting worse right after it got fixed, right? So if I'm a doctor, there's nothing evil or wrong with being a doctor, and I don't see anything wrong at all. Anybody who says going to a doctor is evil and you can't trust, I don't believe in that. Hey, if you want to believe that, that's fine. If I got in a car accident right now, I would not tell the person, don't take me to a doctor. Don't take me to the hospital. No. But in my heart, if I had the capacity to do it, I'd be praying, Lord Jesus Christ, please help me with this, Lord God. Watch over my body. Sustain my blood pressure. Lord, get me into a doctor as quickly as possible that has the wisdom. God, give them wisdom to see whatever's going on. My heart is trusting in God, not in that doctor. You see, from the moment I'm hit, I'm trusting in God, not like, oh, please get me to a doctor, get me to the doctor. Immediately, my first response is to pray, all right? I'd be trusting God. So, nevertheless, I go to a doctor, it's not evil. But if he fixes me on the outside and I'm left the same on the inside, that guy's work burns up in the end and counts for nothing. This is what you want to be careful of. You technically are building the part of the life, and you're spending an awful lot of time and energy doing it. This is something I would think about if I were in your position, that is all going to come to nothing. No matter how much exercise you do, no matter how many weights you lift, no matter how much you go to the gym, everybody's going to end up just like the old man at the mall with the walker with the tennis balls in front of it. It doesn't matter how much you do. Everybody's going to end up like that. The body's going to get to a place where it just says enough is enough. It's deteriorating. So at the expense of spiritual fitness, that's my concern is that if I've spent my life trying to maintain perfect fitness, I am basically building something that is going to be destroyed. It's going to come to nothing. So at the end of my life, how am I going to reconcile that with I'm supposed to be storing up treasures in heaven and building things that will last, producing fruit that lasts? That's my first question is this a fruit that will last? Now, being healthy in general, nothing wrong with it. If you're helping people stay healthy in general, you perhaps are helping people prolong some of their life through stewarding the body. You could see it as stewardship. Here's the problem though, my friend, okay? Most people are not doing exercise to steward the body. The people that are doing the exercise to steward the body, most of those give up after about 2 weeks. You know that, right? I gotta lose this fat. I'm telling you this as somebody who used to own a health club, so I know a little something about the statistics and all that stuff. And the reality is most people are doing this for vain purposes. They want to look good on the outside. It's about vanity, right? So I would hate to think that I got to the end of my life and I found out and discovered that everything I spent my life on is now going to burn up. Just as Paul said, everyone should be very careful as he builds on this foundation. If anyone builds with costly wood, hay, stone, gold, jewels, these things will all be tested by fire. So everything you and I do in this life is going to be tested by fire. If you were placing in your fitness program as much emphasis on your spiritual fitness, in other words, helping people to see that you're a follower of Christ and helping people understand, look, you know, if I help you build this body, but I don't help you find Jesus Christ spiritually, then maybe you have something that's kind of getting outside of that category of works that will burn. Now, these are just a few principles that I would think about, okay? So for example, when I was doing these sticky story videos, these things are going to account for nothing when I'm dead. They didn't do anything but to help people make more money. Now somebody might say, but wow, making more money helps people provide better for their family and to have more money to give away. In the end, all of that counts for zilch. Because that argument will never fly with Jesus Christ, Paul, Peter, James, John, any of the apostles, or the greatest saints that have ever lived. Nobody can look at them and say, well, if you would have worked harder and had more money, God could have done more with you. In fact, most of God's most useful saints had the least amount of money. Because God does not deal in the way of mammon. He can use it, but it's not by any means the most important thing. I've built an entire ministry without ever asking a man for a dollar and haven't worked since January 13th, 2013 or 17th, 2013 in the accordance of, you know, secular work. So God has provided what I've needed, and what's being built is being built by the Spirit, not by mammon. So I'm just trying to give you some things to think about and challenge yourself. But again, let me put the rest of the sandwich together here and take you back to what I said to begin with. What you have to find out, Corey, is what is Abba's plan for your life? He will show you. You ask Him to show you, Lord, and if you want to know His will bad enough, He will show it to you. I don't know His will for your life. Perhaps He's going to do something amazing in your life and use you through the fitness to help people find spiritual fitness. I don't know. But Father knows. He knows all of your heart motivations. He knows all of your weaknesses. He knows all of your temptations. He knows all of your tomorrows. And He knows His plans for your life. So brother, I challenge you. I'm not doing what I thought would be a better work than just building videos. I'm doing exactly what Father has asked me to do and led me to do. That's the sweet spot of the Christian life, is not just doing something good, but doing what Father asks. And it's a higher level of faith. A lot of Christians just want to settle for the fact that they have intellectual faith in God and they keep their nose clean and, you know, they're doing good to other people, and they miss that God has a plan specifically for their life, and they can get in on that, and they can find out exactly what God wants them to do and then do it. And I'm telling you, that is the highest level of worldly peace I've ever experienced. Every day I know I'm doing what God's asked me to do. I have a purpose in the kingdom of heaven. And I don't have any fretting anymore. Now, I used to fret like you, but mine was about the speaking and the sales. I mean, I could have, oh Lord, I mean, is it wrong for me to be a speaker? Is it wrong for me to be a sales trainer? And man, I went through all of this. I wrestled it out for a while, brother. So don't be afraid to keep wrestling with this before the Lord as long as it takes. He may have a lot of other things He wants to teach you in between now and then. And again, Acts 24:16, I strive always not to violate my conscience before God and man. Romans 14, at the very end, it tells us that whatever we do that's not done in faith is done in sin. So if we're doing something that we can't do in faith, meaning in accordance with God's will, then it's a sin for us, okay? And God will show you these things. And then also, Paul speaks of being real careful about the foundation that we're building on, because all of your work is going to be tested by fire. And then also he speaks of everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. And he says everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. So those are those things that we have to think about. And then we ask the Lord to help us. Lord, give me guidance and just lay it out there. Father, I don't know. Do you want me to do this? Is this okay for me to do this? Find out from Him. Man, press into Him. Pray and seek Him and get an answer from Him. It's easy to try to contact somebody like me to get an answer. And I'm just telling you, brother, you'll be so delighted and blessed that when you came to me, I told you to go back to Him. If you'll go back to Him and you'll persist and persist, ask, seek, knock. Okay? Luke 18:1, Jesus taught the disciples to always pray and never give up. So never give up getting this answer from Him. I mean, what kind of a prayer could be more of a delight to Father to answer than the prayer about what direction you want to go with your life? I'm inclined to believe that the Lord's going to let you go a little bit longer before He gives you an answer, because part of Him being quiet on these things is to stir up the desire in your heart for you to really want His will more than yours. That's what He was doing with me with the sales training thing and the motivational speaking. He left me in an area, a dry place for a while. And that just stirred up this strong desire for me to do something for His kingdom. I wanted my life to count in the kingdom, and I wanted to work for the Almighty and Son. That's what I tell people now when they ask me what I do for a living. I say, I work for the Almighty and Son, full time. So, brother, may God bless you and help you with this guidance. And if you'll trust him, he'll do it for you. Okay. God bless you, brother. In Jesus' name. Bye-bye.